Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, Ruben.
Hi, Teddy.
Welcome to the first mini-sode of 2024.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call this. It's not like a real episode, but like a mini intro to 2024. It is the 3rd of January, and we basically skipped like all of December. What did we do in December?
We went on holiday
to Bali.
Yeah.
And now we can all agree that Bali is like a really spiritual place. And we spent like what, almost 2 weeks there?
Yes, drinking lots of spirits.
We were there for a festival, and I went surfing, and we spent almost 2 weeks there. And on our second last night, on our last night in Bali, we stayed in what I guess a lot of people would consider a haunted villa in Canggu.
Canggu?
Canggu? What happened was one of our friends rented this beautiful villa. And the reason that they Airbnb'd it was because it was supposed to be like a smart villa, you know, like all Wi-Fi, and it had offices because some people had to like work on this trip.
Everything was controlled by the Amazon Echo?
Yeah, and so let me like tell you what happened from the start. So we had this long-ass drive from Jimbaran, where the festival was, to Canggu. And by the time we reached there, we were, like, pretty pooped. And we get off the little van, and then we start, like, we input the number into the smart key lock. And guess what?
What?
You don't have to guess, you are there. The number didn't work.
No way.
Yeah, so we had to call the Airbnb person, and she let us in through the service door. So that was like the first thing that like was unpleasant. And the curious thing is that we were all reflecting on this afterwards, and we realized that nobody knocked the door first. Because, you know, when you visit a hotel or an Airbnb, the first thing you should do is knock the door.
True. But we were trying to get in so furiously, I'm sure we like banged on the door to
No, I think we just went straight to the keypad. We didn't like knock the door.
Right.
Okay, so we get in and the villa Wi-Fi was not working. So the first thing we did was like try to get in, but like the Wi-Fi was like, you could connect, you could like log in, but you couldn't like load anything. Yeah. And then I think over the course of the night, you went from being like a little sick, like medium sick, to like really, really sick at night.
Yeah. But that's probably all the spirits. The other kind of spirits.
Yeah. And then Ruben didn't hear this, but I did. There were these like frogs that were croaking, like croak, croak, croak. And it sounded like, help me, help me.
I didn't hear this. I don't know how, kirk, kirk.
Yeah, but like, me, but so yeah, one thing that was like, I guess, pertinent to this story is that the villa itself was next to a field, and it was across a field. So it was like surrounded by fields from like two angles. And I feel like that's, I feel like that's a bit of like a dodgy thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, why is that land undeveloped? Or like, or is there still like grass, rice spirits still living there? You know what I mean? Like Stephen King's Into the Tall Grass.
There's like many rice paddy fields.
Yeah. But oh, and they had actual rice.
Yeah, it was rice. We saw the rice.
Yeah,
the
that fields. Was pretty cool. The real scary thing that happened to us was we went to sleep like not too late because Ruben was kind of sick. But at about 3 a.m., a little bit past 3, because I know I checked the clock on my phone after this, the curtains just closed, like, because they were smart curtains. But these aren't, like, the echo-controlled smart curtains. These are smart curtains that you actually have to touch. Mm-hmm. It was like a button. The curtains closed in the middle of the night, and the light turned on specifically my nightstand, not Ruben's nightstand. Mm-hmm. And then so I woke up and I was like, oh my god, what the fuck? And I made him wake up too. And I was like, okay, we're gonna sleep with the lights on, cause like, why would I turn off the lights after this? And so the next morning, we had a chat with the friend in the room right next to us, and she said that her curtains opened and closed, and her lights turned on, like not just her bedside lamp, but her shelf lights turned on like 3 times that night. At different times. So like, it wasn't like a single command. So it was like once at like 1 a.m., once at 3 a.m., once at 4:30 a.m. And we continue talking about this. And then like, the third friend comes in and he's like, hey, my blinds like pulled up in the middle of the night too. And he was in the master bedroom on the ground floor.
Yeah, so it's like 3 different rooms.
Three different rooms at 3 different times. But like, we all agreed that it happened once at least, like, at 3 a.m.-ish to all of us.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that was really, really dodgy. And the weird thing is that maybe if this was a completely new Airbnb or if this was, like, a lowly rated Airbnb, I would be like, oh, shit, we did this to ourselves.
Right.
But this Airbnb was, like, apparently, like, almost 5 stars with, like, lots of great reviews.
Yeah, it was quite well-reviewed. Someone should have checked whether anyone else complained, you know, like the stuff was moving by itself.
Exactly. Like, or maybe they reviewed the Airbnb well, because like it was well kept and it was very pretty and it was very clean, but like they privately commented to the owners that like some dodgy stuff happened. Okay. And so all this, I think, can be very fairly explained away by a dodgy internet connection or like delayed internet connections. Even though we've never actually experienced that. Usually if there is a delay, it'll like all happen at once. It wouldn't be spread out. You know what I mean?
Right.
One of our friends, so in the afternoon, we all came in and then we all left again because we went to get like massages and snacks and everything. Because Kango is just like in the middle of everything. And so this is like a 3-story house with the master bedroom on the ground floor. So one of them went to the ground floor to take a look at everything, the bedroom that he would be sleeping in. And then he saw a tall figure that was like moving and looked like he was taking photos. And then he thought it was Ruben because Ruben is like the other tall guy there.
He saw a shadow. Yeah. He didn't see it like a figure. He saw like a shadow.
Like a shadow.
At like the stairs, I think.
Yeah. And at that point of time, Ruben and I were either upstairs in our bedroom or like just not in the house at all. Probably not in the house at all. He walked to the shadow, but when he turned the corner, like at the point of which you'd expect to see somebody standing there, there was nobody there. And that was the creepiest thing. And he only told us about it after we checked out of the Airbnb. So that was what we did in December. We stayed in. Oh, and then after that, so this was like a group of 8 people, right?
Yeah, about eight.
Everybody started like falling sick like one by one. Like people started going down. Like Ruben was already sick. And I got sick probably from Ruben sick. But then like people who weren't sick at all before the house, they got like hella sick on the flight back. And somebody got COVID. But the rest of us didn't get COVID. Only that one guy got COVID.
Yeah, so that guy probably got COVID on the flight. Because I assume there was like a big spike in COVID cases in December.
But then could it be that the house ghost was like COVID for you?
No, I don't think so. I think I was sick because of the music festival more than anything.
Yeah. So what else happened in Bali? So while we were at the music festival, which was at Jimbaran, I went surfing like almost every morning. So I surfed in 2 places. I surfed in Jimbaran Beach, which on the like just one day because it had like really mushy waves. But from Jimbaran Beach, which honestly, I spent a lot more time lying on the board than surfing.
Yeah.
You could see the Intercontinental, which is where the Bali Hotel murders earlier this year took place. Mm-hmm. And I was chatting with the surf instructor who obviously like was there for the for the period of time this happened, he apparently chatted with some of the hotel staff and they have a very different theory as to what happened. So officially the case has been solved and this is all just like speculation and rumors, but like it was very interesting to hear what the locals thought of it.
Right.
What he said was that like they all thought that there was a third man involved, like a third party. Like, so the girl was with a boyfriend in another hotel. She moved to this hotel, hooked up with somebody else, and this extra person, like, you know.
Mm. Yeah, because there were some weird things about how the guy was stabbed. Stabbed
exactly, who stabs himself in the back and in the legs and everything.
Mm.
Weird, weird. Oh, I also went on a cruise. It was not Genting Dream. It was Genting Disappointment.
But people do say that between the two that come to Singapore, so Genting and Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
I think generally the reviews for Royal Caribbean are slightly better.
Like genuinely, they told us to show up at 4 o'clock. But if we actually showed up at 4 o'clock for boarding, we would have gotten on the cruise at like 9 p.m. Right, or something. Yeah, so they don't give you clear instructions as to when you show up. And when you do show up, they corral you into sections, which makes absolutely no sense. I mean, I can see why they mean it to be a crowd control measure, but then what was the point of giving people scheduled show-up times if you're just going to make people sit around and wait anyway? So even the first people who showed up when the boat was ready, they weren't allowed to go in until a set time. So that was very confusing because I know in other cruises, if you, let's say, show up early and the boat is ready, they'll just let you on. But no, they had this thing making people go section by section on. And on the boat, it was like, I think, massively understaffed because a lot of the free attractions, like, they just couldn't be bothered to staff it. But like, the casino was very fun. But I'm sure that's because they make money from the casino. And so here's the dodgy thing. When you are disembarking, right?
Yep.
They do the exact same thing. They make people go section by section in the theater. And then guess what they do? This is such a money grab. Guess what they do?
Sell you stuff?
They sell you like the essentially scratch tickets. But instead of scratch tickets, it's like peel-offs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did anyone win anything? Did anyone buy it?
A lot, like a bunch of people bought it, but I just thought it was so dodgy. And do you know that when you go on a cruise, they take your passport?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they take and hold your passport. And then so now they have your passport, like you're holding your return passport and you're held captive in this theater for like solid 2 hours and there's nothing you can do. You know that the boat has docked in Singapore, but now you're just waiting to get off and they're selling you...
Wait, so peel off tickets. When you dock at your destination, so I guess for you it's KL, right?
Yeah.
How do you go into KL? Give you back
your passport? No, so because the KL port is kind of far from KL, so it's Port Klang.
Right.
They make you buy a shuttle ticket into KL. You have no option to call a Grab or whatever yourself.
Right. No. Yeah. No. Well, basically, I meant in terms of your passport.
Oh, they just pass it. I actually don't know. My parents did it. I didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, Genting Dream, more like Genting. No, but I think a big chunk of people that actually got cruise tickets for free because they're like high rollers.
I guess December is like a low period for them also, maybe because a lot of people are going on like actual holidays.
No, but December was like the most expensive period for cruise tickets. Maybe yeah.
Do kids go on cruises? I don't know.
A whole bunch of kids were on the cruise, but I think very unfortunately, this was the only period of time like everyone could coordinate. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So would you go on another cruise? Is it no more cruises for Teddy?
No more Genting Dream for Teddy, but I would like to go on the Royal Caribbean sometime this year.
Right.
Like just for like a weekend or something, but like I think Royal Caribbean doesn't have like 3-day cruises, they only have 2-day cruises, so I think it would be fine. Like I think a longer cruise would be fine if I could work on the boat, but boat Wi-Fi is like insanely expensive and really really slow.
I'm sure there's longer Royal Caribbean cruises because don't they go to like Europe and stuff?
Yeah, like, no, so there are Royal Caribbean cruises that are like 14-day, 1 month. And there's also like multi-month cruises, which I think is insane. But I don't think... I think we try the 4-day one first, like, see whether you like...
I guess 4-day would be to like Penang or
gamble. And if we do it, it's actually really quiet. So I could bring the whole setup and record on there. I could record a cruise-related case on the cruise.
But then you could only publish it when you...
Oh, yeah, yeah, because the Wi-Fi is so expensive and slow. Like, can I tell you that the Wi-Fi for 4 devices for 3 days, and it wasn't actually a full 3 days, it's basically 2.5 days, if you can't count, like, the embarkation and disembarkation. You don't guess how much it is for 4 devices.
For 4 devices for 3 days?
Yes, 4 devices for 3 days.
$60.
No. 120.
Double.
No, and this wasn't even the premium. This was the Wi-Fi that I couldn't open Telegram on. It was the WhatsApp only Wi-Fi.
I suppose it's difficult to get any connection. I wonder how they do it. It's like a satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, cause for a while I was like, actually, if we stopped rendering and we just worked remotely from a cruise, it might actually be cheaper.
Really?
Because you don't count in living expenses and electricity because the cruise is all in.
But isn't like each night already like a few $100?
It depends. Yes. Alright, so that's everything that I've been up to that nobody asked for.
Yes. Oh, you also had Christmas and
yeah,
New Year's and all the festivities.
Yes. So, we're scheduling for another year of posting. I have been really, really bad about housekeeping. I also want to have more guests on the show, but it's just really hard to schedule stuff. I'm also going through Instagram, through all of your recommendations from last year and seeing where it fits in. And I'm really very grateful to everybody who posted me on your Spotify Wrapped. But I wasn't able to repost because I was either being haunted in a villa in Canggu or on a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we will have an episode for you next week. Thank you for being on this mini-soak catch-up, Ruben.
Thanks for having me, Teddy. I guess you could call it a life update.
Life update. No, I'm going to title this, I think, Teddy stumbles upon. Teddy is haunted in a villa in Bali. The haunted villa in Bali with Teddy. Something like that. And do join us next week for...
another briefcase. Is this a briefcase? An actual briefcase.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.